Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. In this Easter message titled, "The One We Can't See," Reverend David Williams tells us that in the darkness of the night, it is hard to imagine what the world would be like during the light of day. We need to realize that this Easter gift is life and a great hope for what is possible. Let us embrace this deep change that God has given to us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather together on this Easter morning, this morning full of resurrection hope. As a people who are certain that God has something more and gracious and life-giving intended for us. That's the message of this morning, that there is more meant for us, that in God's love for us as we see it, in a tomb that is empty, in the hope and promise of a spirit that is reborn into all of us. This Easter hope we are given is a vital and joyous thing that should give us life. Now, though, let's speak the truth of it, which is sometimes we walk out of this building and we go back to doing the things we have always done, that we let darkness consume us, that we don't live into the promise of today. So together now, let's admit that. Please join with me in praying the prayer of confession. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust in your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant, given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Now hear the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished. The past is gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from John's gospel. I'll be reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. You can follow along on page 114 of your Pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Early on, the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." When she'd said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means beloved teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's hard to get up before the sunrise. It is 4:15 in the a.m. if you're coming from Annandale. And you get up and you clamber out of bed and you poke your head to the window to see what it's like. And it's kind of cloudy. And you honestly wouldn't mind if it was raining, so long as it was raining coffee. And so you get ready, and you go out into a new day. Only when you get up that early, you're not stepping out into a new day. It's before the dawn, it's before the morning, long before the earth has rotated away from the deep night and brought our little star into view. The day hasn't begun, and on those mornings where you have to get up, you know, because you have to, sometimes you'll look up heavenward, and if it's not cloudy, you'll see just this dome of dark, sprinkled with points of light. When you wake in those mornings and you really look up at the sky, the funny thing is you don't really see it. You don't see what you're seeing in the early morning. Oh, you do on a cloudy day. There they are, the clouds, and another one of those days. But on a clear day, you look up into that dark morning sky, and we don't see it. We know what we're looking at, technically. You made your way through most of high school, and you've watched, you know, some of either the new cosmos or the old ones, the billions and billions and billions of miles. You know how big the thing is you're looking at. But neither our eyes nor our minds can really grasp what we're staring into, this immense deep. What we see is what we can see, which is, you know, twinkle, twinkle, little stars set into the two-dimensional dome above us that our minds create to keep us sane, I think. That's why if you play video games at all, if you're at all a gamer, the point where they stop worrying about the sky is once you get past the clouds, then they'll just give you this sheet that might move a little bit. Maybe they're twinklings, but they don't worry about any depth because they don't need to, because we can't see it anyway. It looks just as real to us. We can't see that volume, that depth, that impossible depth stretching out into the vastness of infinity before us. And so though we look right at it, right into the face of the heavens, we don't really see what it is we're seeing. Kind of like that first time you look into the face of your newborn child, just minutes or hours old. You hold that little tiny baby in your hands, and they're really small then. You know, they're really like, you know, they're nothing. You know, they're not these huge things that they become. They're just this scrunchy-faced little bit of a thing, and you're looking at them, but you don't really yet know who it is you're looking at. Oh, they might have a name, assuming you didn't get lost in the thickets of those books, you know, and they're, well, that name means this, and we can't name them that because our great uncle, somebody had that name, and hopefully you've got a name. If not, there's a little time. And they might look like someone, hopefully the mom, a little bit. It's usually that. Well, maybe a little bit like the dad, but though you see that familiarity in them, holding this tiny life in your hand, this life full of potential, the reality of that person that you are looking at is not something you can see. Behind those little eyes, struggling to focus on their world, which just got a whole bunch larger and a whole bunch brighter, there is the possibility of a person that you don't know. And that continues. You know, when that little voice calls out to you from the crib, and it's not so little, actually, it's actually rather house-filling, when they want you to do something. Feed me, change me, drive me somewhere. You don't yet know who they are. You don't hear the voice of the man or the woman they're going to become. And you can stare at them all day long and look for that face. Sometimes when they're little, it feels like you do. You just sit there at the side of their crib and you look in at that sleeping face. Finally sleeping. Thank you, Jesus. And as long as you look at them, marveling at their life, you still don't really know who it is you're looking at. You can look right at something and not know what it is. That message comes to us from John's Gospel today. This Easter message out front of a tomb. It's a story of a powerful transformation, a shift from brokenness to grace, from ruins to a new being. And honestly, even now we can read through this story and struggle to see it. Struggle to grasp its place in us. It's a kind of thing we have trouble wrapping our brains around, like the immensity of the heavens. It's a kind of thing that feels just out of reach, like the future that rests in that child in our arms. And even with it right there in front of us there face to face with it, we struggle to see it and understand what it means. Like Mary Magdalene, who is standing there weeping at that open tomb. She'd found it. She'd been the one who got there on her way to mourn, on her way to weep against a closed stone door, and she didn't find anything, just nothing opened up. And him gone. And so she rushed back to tell everyone who cared about this man who was so important to all of them that things just weren't right. He is gone. And so others come. Peter and the beloved disciple. They come and they look in and they see nothing. And so they leave. Nothing to see. Move along. But she stays. And as she's staying, we hear from the story that suddenly, in that place that had been empty, there were random strangers chilling there in their white rhinestone leisure suits or whatever it is that angels wear. And what's striking is that nowhere in that conversation does Mary seem startled. You don't hear, she looks in and there are these shiny guys and she, yeah, that would be distressing. There's nothing but, her mind is elsewhere. She is entirely focused on the sorrow that she feels for this loss. And so she's unfazed and they ask her, why are you crying? And so she tells them. She tells them not just of her loss, but of that yearning, because now she doesn't even have the place, the thing that she felt she needed to properly mourn. It's not even a body. And she still mourns, and presumably they're still there watching her, and then there is a man with her. And that man asks the same question that the others ask. Why are you crying? And then, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? And she doesn't know who he is. She's got no idea. She looks right at him. No idea who he is. And so she asks him, do you know, maybe you took him. Maybe you took him away. Do you know where he is? Tell me so that I can take him back. And that is the point in the story when Jesus just says her name, Mary. And with that calling out of her name, she suddenly sees. She realizes who he is. And with all of that, suddenly who she is changed. She knows that the story she had told herself about what her life was going to be like is now completely different. The heart of Easter is that depth of change, that story of resurrection, of having eyes suddenly opened to a new way of living that busts a great big hole in death itself. This is the story that first plays its way out by this empty tomb in a long-ago garden, in a conversation between a woman and a strange man who seems unknown and then suddenly is very deeply known. The story begins with the certainty of loss and the finality of death. And then changes as Mary is open to the possibility of something so wonderful that she couldn't see it even though it was right in front of her. That for us is the heart of the resurrection promise we declare this morning. As we say from this story and the truth it contains, that things can be made new. And yeah, we often don't see things for what they are. We can look up into the face of the heavens and not even see it. We can struggle to grasp what it is when we look at the face of a little one. But I think what we most mightily struggle to grasp is who we are to become in the face of this truth. We don't see the self, really, that this calls us to be. It's like in places other than Poolsville, there are these things called traffic lights. Sometimes it'd be nice if there was one right there, but. And every once in a while I'm sitting at the traffic light at Columbia Pike and Gallows Road in Annandale, waiting and waiting, and I'm the first one in line. I don't know if you've ever done this, assuming you've seen traffic lights, right? Okay. You will sit there, and I'll be the first one in line, and the cars are going by. And I will make a point of looking at every face that passes, at every person that is driving by, all different strangers, people I have never seen, people I may never see again, and if I do, I'm not going to remember them from that. But there in that moment, there's a whole life. There's a whole human being with a story who loves and suffers and is as full of life as I or you are, passing by a stranger. When we look at our own faces in the mirror, measured against this promise, I don't think we really see how much this can mean to us, that the person we can be called to become is as new and different, with as rich a story that we don't know as that stranger passing by in that moment. What we are asked today to do is to catch hold of that reality, of that person we don't yet know, because in some ways we are trapped in some past, trapped in a tomb of our own making, dead to that new life, dead to the promise of God that rests in all of us. This day, today, we express our trust that our renewal comes from this moment, and that the person God wants us to be can be known through this moment. It's not that we're called to be more wealthy or powerful. It's that we're called to something much more joyous. That's a resurrection hope. That's the hope of transformation today, of that stone rolled away and of life made suddenly completely new. On this Easter morning, see this truth with new eyes. On this Easter morning, trust that you can live into that with a heart made new. Because he is risen. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
In the darkness of night, you can't really feel the day coming. This morning when I was standing up on Sugarloaf, it suddenly occurred to me that as we talk today about the stone being rolled aside, we're talking about it on a stone that is constantly rolling, this big round thing, call it the earth. And we stand on it, and we can stand there in the darkest night and not know that it is rolling away and that day is coming. What we're asked to do today is to turn our eyes towards that place where the stone is rolling us towards the light, and the dawn. Wherever our lives are a struggle, wherever we are broken, wherever we feel we can't break out of the grip of death and sorrow, we're asked to look towards that dawn, to know that it is here, that today, though death might have seemed victorious, life is with us, and that we are given hope. That's the Easter story. Go out and live into that day. Live into that life. Because he is risen. He's risen indeed. Now, may the grace of our risen Lord, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us this Easter day, and the day after, and all the days to come. Amen.